Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are starting up with a view of some pretty cool wind chimes and ending looking at a book.
Oh, yes. We get some breakfast time here.
Yeah. So I think last episode we ended off with Paul trying to use the voice on a glass of water instead of his mother. We got a really sassy response from Jessica where she was like, hey, no, talk to me, not the water. And then we got like a nice little transition, some ambient music and stuff with the wind chimes. And then we see a portrait of the old Duke.
Oh, yeah. Old Duke.
This is Leto Atreides' father. And I would assume he's dead. The audience would assume he's dead if there's just a portrait of him just hanging out in the dining room, which is a weird place to put a picture of your dead relative, if you think about it.
Well, that's a place of reverence. John, to my knowledge, you are alive. Would you ever have a full portrait of yourself?
Absolutely
hanging
not.
In your house?
Unless I was just like, fuck you, money rich.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to say?
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's very fair. That is a very, very high ceilings in that dining room. So, and clearly they're just fuck you rich.
Yeah.
Maybe. But no, he is dead. He is for sure dead.
One other cool thing that we get a shot of after the picture or the portrait of the Duke is then like a really cool like bronze statue of a man bullfighting.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I noticed when I was watching this minute of the movie was that like, if you looked at the statue, you could kind of see the patina on top of the head of the man and on top of the bull itself was kind of like worn away a little bit, kind of like you see other bronze. Yeah. So
they probably just like touch it every time they go by.
Yeah,
just
a little maybe
remembrance of dad.
So why bulls?
Why bulls? I mean, because clearly the picture is of the old Duke in a, I mean, it looks like a matador.
Or get some up. Kind of like military dress or something. Cause yeah. He's got like medals and shit.
That's true. I don't know. I think there was like a cape or like some kind of cape on his shoulder.
Yeah.
The picture is a little bit blurry, but it makes sense that there would be a matador. It would be matador themed because the old Duke loved bulls. He was raised loving bulls. This is from the encyclopedia.
Okay.
He was raised raising bulls. And horses and all sorts of other animals. And had a lifelong affinity for them. And that was actually ultimately his downfall was in the bullfighting ring. It's kind of odd that they have a bunch of bull statues and like the bull head, which I'm not sure if we've seen yet in the movie, but we definitely see later around as kind of just a reminder that, hey, these things will mess you up. Just look at Granddaddy Mentor.
It's like if someone in your family like died of being caught in a house fire and you just had pictures of house fires all over your house, that'd be a little weird.
Morbid example, but yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The encyclopedia says that he was 104 years old when he died in the bullfighting ring. He had a stable rule for 47 years and only one son, which was Leto, as we've the Leto that we've met.
Do we know how old Leto is? Like, we know that Paul's like 15, 16. Like, he's still really young.
Yeah, I haven't done that math, honestly, yet. yes, it's around. I'll make a note to do that in a future episode. And we'll get the ages of these people down.
It's probably in like his 40s or some shit.
Sure. And that seems that feels right. Although Oscar Isaacs is ageless, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
I wanted to talk about like when we cut from the wind chimes, we cut back to Paul, and this is his like you know actual attempt at saying or using the voice to give or to get his mom to give him the water.
Sure,
and I love the like audio. Visual effect that they do here where you see his mouth move and you hear the audio a little bit later.
Well, you see his mouth move. You feel, especially if you could have like a good sound system, you feel like a rumble, and then you hear the mixture of voices and stuff.
Yeah.
Does the encyclopedia ever explain, like, it probably not, but like who all the extra voices are when the voice is used, or is that simply
just that's just for the movie. I did have some like super, super nerdy notes about the voice.
I mean, if there's ever a place to nerd out, yeah, it is here.
So, the voice, it is listed, and this is all again from the encyclopedia. It's listed as a manipulation of speech to achieve complete control over someone. And I'm in quotes here, the extra perceptual auditory stimuli capable of implanting a message in an individual's unconscious, thus creating a compulsion to obey.
Fucking nerd.
So basically it is not necessarily mind control. It's definitely in the realm. If a skilled person uses the voice on you, you don't even know that your mind has changed. You think it's your idea. You're like, yep, I'm doing it right now. Go.
You're just bypassing all safeguards that someone's conscious mind would have.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they said, unconscious mind, not like subconscious.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is the lizard brain part of you that it's like tickles the lizard brain, part. And, you automatically do whatever they say.
Who do you think the first person to use the voice was? And like the first time they did it, was it just like a, oh shit kind of moment where they were like, oh fuck,
that was cool, I'll do that again. I don't know.
Must have,
It is a skill that is unique to the Bene Gesserit, though. The encyclopedia has a lot to say about the voice and its discovery and usage and how it came to be.
Yeah.
My last note on the voice, and after reading that whole article that's in the encyclopedia, it just says, all that's BS and made up, right? Like, I don't think there is an ounce of anything true in that entire thing, which is what you expect when you read the encyclopedia. But some of the articles in there are like, there, you know, there's references to real things, and there's, you know, at least an attempt to ground it into reality.
Real things as in like things that happen in our timeline.
Yeah.
Like what?
Jesus
uses the voice.
No, Jesus. I believe Jesus is mentioned in there as a possible Kwisatz Haderach. Because the Bene Gesserit have been doing that shit for. We're getting way far afield.
Yeah. Look,
we have plenty of time, plenty of minutes to talk. We are like all this.
8 seconds into this minute, and there's a lot more to talk about. Yeah. So I think. We'll have plenty of time in the next, 150 plus episodes
to
talk more about the voice.
Absolutely.
So, but the point is that it's cool as shit. Paul's not good at using it.
Nope.
But, kind of, because like there's that moment that we see Jessica's hand reach for the glass and start to move it. But then like she kind of snaps back to reality. And one thing that I noticed is that like her arm is elevated. Like it is starting to reach for the glass, but then she like sets it down and then reaches for the glass and hands it to him. So like,
yeah, I mean, he's not bad at it. He's just not great at it.
Yeah.
And also Jessica is a fully trained sister of the Bene Gesserit. She's got training probably against the voice.
I'm sure people have used the voice on her many times when she was early on.
Yep.
But yeah, in this moment, like any other mother, Jessica recognizes that her son is tired and he's looking a little sleepy, as most teenagers are at breakfast.
Sure.
But she asks him, like, hey, like, have you been having more dreams? And then we get a hard cut to that hooded figure of Chani. And Paul's like, nah.
No,
I haven't really been having them. And Jessica can tell that he's lying, of course, but yeah. I just think it's funny that Paul just doesn't want to talk about it. He's just like,
well, Mom, really. I was dreaming about this girl. Those are not fun conversations to have with your mother at breakfast.
No.
So, yeah, I completely understand him wanting to just be like, nope, no dreams.
And he just goes back to eating and stuff. Yeah. And we have this like side profile of Paul.
Yep.
And then we get a cut to a different room, but still a side profile of Paul. But instead of his face, it's his face in a shadow on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He's listening to some kind of audiobook.
Yeah. A film book, those are called.
And we can see him kind of flipping through. We'll call it a podcast.
Yeah. Flipping through a podcast.
We're going to be meta as hell here. It's a podcast. But we also see him flipping through a book, and he's listening to this film book talking about Arrakis of all places.
Yep.
Surprise, surprise.
What do they say about Arrakis? Do you have that written down?
We're talking about how the extreme temperatures and weather events have sandstorms powerful enough to cut through metal, which is a little fast.
Yeah, for sure.
And then our minute ends with a really cool shot of the book itself as the film book is talking about the native tribes of the Fremen.
Yeah.
And we see what we will come to learn is a still suit, but we see a picture of this suit and it's kind of splayed out almost like the what's the name of the Da Vinci
it's
the Vesuvian man.
Vitruvian
man, I think.
One of those.
The forearm dude.
One of those is right.
Yeah. Yell at us on Twitter if we're wrong. Yeah. But we see a Vitruvian man inspired image of that still suit. But our minute ends there.
Yeah.
Looking at
that, all that information. And I have in my notes here, like, that information that we hear from the film book is basically the biggest Chekhov's gun that you could possibly add to this, because surely those exact sentences are never going to come back into play.
Nope. No. Right.
So, a lot of interesting stuff. Yeah. Then the minute ends right after that, like you said. So, introduced to some good topics, some really important things for the movie here. Not a whole lot of action. There's a lot of again, just place setting. These first, 10, 15 minutes are just going to be mostly place setting. That's the end of my notes. You got anything else for this one?
Not for this one. I think it's cool to kind of see, how Paul is starting out with, well, not at this point, he's not starting out, but where we see him with his inability or limited ability of some Bene Gesserit skills that I'm sure he will never use again ever in the course of this entire series.
Right. And it's important for us to realize that he's still learning.
Yeah. And Jessica even acknowledges that too. She's like, hey, it's okay. This shit takes years to learn. Yeah. So, but as far as this minute, we are pretty good on all of that. I don't think there's anything else, but I know that the next minute we're going to have quite a bit to talk about. So
yes.
If you're not subscribed already, go ahead and do that, because...
Hit that like button and subscribe.
Okay, nope, don't do that. God damn it, Zach.
Isn't that what YouTubers do?
We're not a YouTuber.
Is this a vlog?
I don't know. Stop.
John, help me put this on the internet.
No.
All right, cool. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll keep this train going. And we'll talk about minutes 6 through 7 tomorrow on the Dune Minute Podcast.
We'll see you then.
See you.